Robotics with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi and welcome to the 152nd episode of the Robots Podcast. My name is Jana, and in this episode we'll be bringing you a summary of what happened in last year's European Robotics Week. But first, let's get an update on what's happened more recently in robotics from Christine.
Thank you, Jana. Researchers exploring the study of embodied communication will share their ideas and insights during the 5th EUCOG 3 Members Conference in Bochum from March 19th through 20th of 2014. Peter Domine from the Inserm Stem Cell and Brain Research Institute in Lyon, France, will show how the iCube robot acquires meaning by establishing a link between physical action and language. And Yanis Aloimonos from the University of Maryland in the USA will demonstrate how an action grammar is able to parse human action into meaningful sequences. Psychologists like Larissa Samuelson and Susan Wagner-Cook from the University of Iowa will present the developmental perspective on embodied communication, focusing on how children learn words and how gesture and language co-develop. Srini Narayana will show in theoretical models how meaning and grammar are intimately tied together in the learning process. As part of a resupply mission to the International Space Station, Ross will board a SpaceX rocket on March 16th and, barring inclement weather, will launch into space. According to a blog post by Brian Gerke at the OSRF, SpaceX will deliver a set of robotic legs for the Robonaut 2, R2, humanoid torso that is currently aboard the ISS. The legs are designed to aid the robot's movement in zero gravity and are capable of lifting 20 pounds. Sometimes described as a robot butler for astronauts, R2 will be able to complete tasks that are dangerous or simply inconvenient for people. Finally, as of March 12th, the adorable and versatile humanoid robot Nao Next Gen, the fourth generation Nao robot from Aldebaran Robotics, is available for purchase at a starting price of 5,628 euro, or about 8,000 US dollars. Nao stands 573 millimeters or 22.5 inches tall, has 25 degrees of movement freedom, and has two HD cameras, four microphones, two hi-fi speakers, runs an Intel Atom 1.6 GHz CPU, Wi-Fi connectivity, 9 tactile sensors, and 8 pressure sensors. These features allow him to walk in all directions, talk in 19 languages, detect faces and shapes, protect itself when it falls, and localize sound sources. It can be programmed from multiple platforms, Windows, Linux, and Mac OS, with multi-languages SDK, C++, Python, Java, and .NET. Also, users can take advantage of the intuitive programming interface Choreograph. For more information on the future of robots and embodied communication, space, and humanoids, visit robohub.org.
The EU Robotics Week is usually a big event, and in 2013 it included over 300 individual robotics events in 24 countries. Overall, these attracted more than 55,000 participants of all ages and walks of life. So to give us a snapshot of this event, we have short contributions from three guests who were all involved in very different ways in 2013's EU Robotics Week. First up is Fiorella Operto, who is the national coordinator of the European Robotics Week in Italy.
Hi Fiorella, welcome to Robots.
Hi to everyone.
Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, I am the chairman of a cultural society called the School of Robotics, based in Italy, but working all over the world and hopefully also outside our planet in a near future. We deal with robotics in every meaning of this term. We are doing researches on robots, mobile robots, and also robots simulating the behavior of animals. We are doing researches on education and robotics, that is, using robotics kits and tools to support the teaching and learning of scientific issues, but also humanistic issues. And we are also applying robotics kits for supporting a disabled child, education, autistic child, and so on. But most important of all, we are launching the Roboethics campaign. We were launching the Roboethics campaign 10 years ago.
What would you say is your general work focus? You mentioned ethics, education. What are your interests?
In our nation and also in Europe, our scientific education is too much confined to theory, and kids have few possibilities to get their hands on the experimental science because of many problems like cut off finances, small rooms, lack of laboratory, and so on. So with our robotics kits, be them marketed robotics kits or self-assembled, we also assemble robotics kits for educational purposes. So with our robotics kits, we give kids, children, and also students the possibility to test laws of physics, laws of mathematics, and also play, because robotics is fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think robots are an excellent way to get kids excited about science. And this fits great with the European Robotics Week as well, which aims to bring robotics to the general public. You were the national coordinator for the EU Robotics Week in Italy. What type of events were organized in Italy?
Many. Because we organized the European Robotics Week here in Italy with, children from kindergarten to high school. So, kids are really more creative than we adults are. And they invented, theater, drawings, like carnivals, they simply tried to behave like robots. They had a lot of fun in doing it. And also we had conferences, we had classes, open houses, lab tours, etc. But mainly, we had in hundreds of schools all over Italy, kids simply inventing their own robotics holiday, robotics happening, and with their paper, fabric, etc. They really invented robots using also recycled material, and then they mechanized these robots using small engines from old printing machine, etc. LEDs, and volumetric pumps they have when kids are under chemotherapy. They should wear these volumetric pumps. So the fun was that all the kids transferred on the robots their own problem and diseases, but laughing so loudly that, nurses came and, worried that something was happening. And instead were kids laughing because they tried to, they saw them, their problem in a different way. And this is theater, A theater is also a therapy. So for kids, robots is a way of having an avatar with which they can simulate their life and see their life in another way.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any statistics about the event?
By statistics, you mean numbers, figures.
Mm-hmm.
We had more than 150 events. In comparison with last year, we were also the coordinator of the Robotics Week in Italy. We had maybe less events, but more, but well organized. You know, this time we had less companies working in the Robotics Week. We had KUKA and many others, you know, Autodesk, etc. But we had more schools and also educational centers, ludotheques, you know, where kids are going to play in the afternoon. So we were around 150 events from Sicily to Bolzano, Bozen.
Is there anything that you would change from next year? You mentioned things that you changed from last year.
We would like to have more companies, robotics companies, also what it's called integrators, you know, working with us. Because we would like to give students of high school, technical and vocational schools, but also, you know, high school in general, colleges, the possibility to prepare themselves for their profession, future profession, knowing what they are going to do in these companies.
Is there a specific message that you were trying to convey during the week?
Again, also this year, we insisted in the ethical, legal, and societal issues in advanced robotics. Because, as I said, school robotics supported roboticist Gianmarco Veruggio, the Italian roboticist in underwater robotics, to launch the idea of the roboethics, that is ethical, legal, and societal issues in robotics. And we would like to continue to go on discussing with kids, you know, the need to be concerned with these technologies, because robots can be very, very useful, but can be also very, very dangerous, is badly used, is if ill used. And we would like to start to discuss with kids, even kids of 6, 7 years, about this roboethics principle, that its robots should be used for the good, you know, to free the planet from the pollution, to free ocean from the nuclear wastes, etc. And this is very important for us.
That is obviously a really important discussion to have with the crowd. How do the kids react to these questions? Because we hear about roboethics, you know, with professors, with experts, but never with kids.
Kids are very concerned about the future because they are living in a world that is not so safe. And they are, they get in touch with these issues of pollution and, you know, the overcrowded technology. We are suffocated sometimes by technology very soon. Kids are working with technology more than we adults did in their age. They are surrounded by technology, by computers, by iPad, telephones, smart telephones, etc. They know that they will use this technology in their profession, and they are concerned with some issues. First of all, peace in our world. They want peace. So I saw many kids, when we discuss about robotics, drawing or building a robot for peace, you know, that was a peaceful robot doing only peaceful activities. And they are also concerned with, you know, their future profession. And this all is also an ethical issue, you know, because robots were responsible, not because of themselves, but because of the development of technology in the factories, of, you know, unemployment, you know, because in the automotive sector, many workers were substituted by robotic arm. This, in a sense, is good, because no one would live and work in a painting department of an automotive field. You know, this is very dangerous for health. In the same time, society should take care of this problem of unemployment. And, you know, kids are very serious on these issues. They discuss, you know, professional employment and pollution in a very tact way.
That's probably the best feedback you can have. They're the ones building the future.
Yes, yes, you're right.
You're obviously an expert in science communication, and that seems to be a very important part of what you do. I wanted to ask you, do you have any tips for researchers on how to communicate their work better?
I was just following many laboratories by a cultural society based in Turin, and using theater for communicating scientific concepts. And this was my specific interest always. I always thought that poetry, literature, can convey scientific concept in another way, not by law, not by so sharp in a way, but in another way, you know, conveying the, first of all, the passion for knowledge, and secondly, the specific ingenuity of a scientist. Hard scientist, I mean, and I am loving this way of conveying this concept, because I know that in the Italian Renaissance you had scientists and poets in the same time. You have Brunelleschi, you have Leonardo da Vinci, who were not split between hard science and humanities like today our careers. You know, but they were one, you know, unite personality using every like a lobe of our brain, you know, be it, you know, the artistic one or the rational one. And because of our Italian tradition, you know, we love robotics, because robotics is intelligence and society and body and, you know, creativity. And we hope that, you know, with our communication activities, we would like to really to convey this message that science is not split from creativity, poetry, art, etc. And robotics needs a lot of artistic thinking, you know.
You know, that's really interesting, because I was thinking changing the messaging, so adding more humanities, adding more art, is going to get maybe more girls interested in robotics. And the reason I say that is because RoboHub and the Robots podcast, the steering committee is all female, and I think that changes the way we message robotics, and hopefully that encourages more girls to join robotics. And so I wonder if you've been thinking about that in your way of approaching science communication.
Oh, yes, sure. We also, you know, thought that girls have many possibilities in robotics, you know. Although until now, robotics is certainly the engineering field where women are less represented. And it's really a pity. I mean, it's pitiful, because women could add their own way of looking at the world. That certainly is different from males' one. You know, I'm not saying that it's bad or less, or I mean, it's different, you know, because we are different, you know. So women in robotics are very good, and we have a project called Roberta, specifically for girls in robotics. You know, girls in robotics would be very good in, for instance, human-robot interaction. Because, you know, they could add their own way of looking at the environment and at the robot at the same time. Males can do as well as girls. I'm not saying that, but culturally, not because of the brain, but culturally, girls are more, influenced to go to humanities, social issues, etc. And I think that a human-robot interface, a human-robot design, is a very, very important profession in the future, because we will have robots as personal robots, you know, robots companions, and they should have a very nice shape, ergonomics, and also, you know, shaped for living or working, being robots in an anthropomorphic environment.
Can you tell me just in 30 seconds a bit more about Roberta?
Roberta is a project started by the Institute Fraunhofer EIS in Bonn 6 years ago. They used a branded robotics kit, but the methodology for education for girls was different that from males. So they had no competition, no war. You know, kids are males. Kids are always glued to video games where they kill, you know, other monsters, etc. And girls were not so interested in this. So the methodology was that for the first lessons, girls should be alone working with robots, because if there are males or boys in the classroom, girls tend to delegate to boys, you know, the first, you know, the beginning, you know, all the issues about technology, they delegate. So the first hours with girls alone, and, you know, with projects like environment, you know, like saving your puppet from a dump, using robots to simulate animal behavior, etc. Then, after, you know, a few hours, they get acquainted with the robot, so girls can go on as much as the boys. You know, this is no much difference. And Roberta, they became a European project 2 years in Science and Society, and the School of Robotics is the national center for Roberta in Italy. And we are just launching an idea to use Roberta to support mathematics for girls.
All right. Thanks so much for being here with us on Robots, and congratulations on the European Robotics Week.
Thank you to you, and thank you to your audience.
Great. Now let's hear from Duva Drescher, who's a grad student at the University of Twente in the Netherlands and organized an event at which children could interact with robots in his lab.
Hi, Duva. Welcome to Robots.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
My name is Duva Drescher. I work at the Robotics and Mechatronics Lab of the University of Twente in the Netherlands. And my own research is on dike inspection robotics. So we try to have a team of walking robots on the Dutch dikes to have an early warning system against failures.
What would they be looking at on the dikes? That's interesting.
There are a couple of early symptoms that are hard to see on the surface, but that you can measure with subsurface sensors like small trickles of water or deformations in the soil.
Can you maybe describe what this robot looks like? I'm imagining a small walking robot next to a giant dike.
Yes, it will be approximately the size of a dog. So it will, as we're also now looking at a four-legged robot, and then a couple of these cooperating to efficiently sweep the dike.
What does the rest of your lab work on, briefly?
We have work in compliant robotics, variable stiffness actuators, We have worked on various inspection projects, for example, inspection of gas pipes or inspection of ballast tanks in cruise ships. We have projects on medical topics like robotic needle steering, robotic endoscopy.
So a lot of robots with real-world applications. And actually, this brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, and that's the EU Robotics Week. I know you were one of the main organizers of the Open Lab for Kids. What was the event about, and what kind of demos did you show these kids?
Well, we specifically rearranged our lab to be really accessible to kids. So we even had a separate kids' corner, where we had a bunch of robots varying in complexity from a now till very simple walking robotic spiders, which the kids could actually touch. And that's, I guess, the most important thing that we focused on. We also had in our big lab a couple of very serious demos with haptics, such that actually really demos that the kids could interact with and experience. And that was really a big success.
What types of things did the kids do? Did you have to tell them what the robot was, how it worked, or did they really just go and interact with them?
So in the kids' corner, it was really just about going and interacting. There was really little supervision. So they could really do whatever they liked. So we had the Tai Chi demo of the Nao, and people started Tai Chi together with the Nao, which was really fun to see.
I've seen that one. Yeah, that's really neat. What was the general reaction of the kids? You mentioned the Tai Chi, but I'm sure there were a lot of comments, maybe to the spider robot, for example.
Yeah, one very nice example that we have with the spider robot is that we had them just walking around, and they are very simple robots that can do a bit of obstacle avoidance, but really very simple. And one of them still had a small piece of rope around some part, and there was a little girl that actually picked up the rope and went walking with the robot.
like a pet.
Like a pet, yes, indeed.
Do you have any other fun anecdotes?
Well, it's I thought about it, but I couldn't think of any specific reactions. But in general, about the haptic interaction is what they really loved is that you can really control a robot yourself, a very serious robot too. We had a Kukua U-bot, which they could manipulate themselves, and that they, with the haptics, could also feel what the robot was feeling. They were really amazed by this.
Was there a specific message you were trying to get across?
Robotics, that is just fun. And that, of course, it's always a nice topic with kids to show them what you can actually do in the technical area. So we really try to convey a message that of the incredibly cool stuff that we do here in the lab.
That's a good message. Why do you think as researchers that it's important to teach kids about robotics?
Well, I think what kids get in school is very limited from this point. So as a researcher, you can really show them the cutting edge of what is happening, which is really nice and interesting. And especially if you think about robotics. We are lucky with robotics. It's a very visual and touchable topic, such that you can really see and feel and what it is. And that really creates a lot of enthusiasm. Also, in general, about the technical field, such that they know it's there, and maybe in the future they will come and help us get it even further.
Did you have to be careful since these kids were interacting directly with the robots, or is the fact that your robots were compliant enough to sort of provide the safety needed for this type of experiment?
It is, of course, always a concern. We have there is always somebody with a little bit more delicate setup, so to say, which are either delicate that people may break them, or delicate in the sense that they may break the children. There's always somebody close by to be really there to take care that the robots are handled in the correct way, such that there's no risk, or at least minimal risk.
Would you do things differently next time? Or actually, first of all, was this the first time you did this workshop?
Actually, it was the second time. We had in October, we also had an open house from the university. So we already took some learning points to the European Robotics Week.
What did you learn, and what did you learn from this time as well?
Well, for the first time, one of the things that we learned was that in the kids' corner, we shouldn't allow adults because they only interfere with kids playing with the robots. And so what we did differently this time is that we also had a nice place for the parents to sit and wait while their kids were enjoying themselves and have some coffee. And I guess we were pretty satisfied with the success that we had this time. So maybe, it's of course a bit weird to say, but I think we do not have any points that we think on hindsight we should do it different next time.
All right, well, excellent. On that note, thanks so much for being here with us on Robots.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Really interesting. And finally, here's Roko Chakarov, business director at Mobile Gripping Systems at Schunk in Germany. He talks about the company's competition for local high school students.
Hi, Roko. Welcome to Robots.
Hi.
Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes. My name is Roko Chakarov. I'm an engineer of electrical engineer, and I'm working for Schunk now for 10 years. I'm heading the department of mobile gripping systems. Basically, this is the department where we're targeting the most high-tech robotic solutions with Schunk products, and we are doing this here organized in a separate company, daughter company of Schunk.
Tell us a little bit more about Schunk. What are the company's main activities?
Schunk has two pillars it is standing on, one of them being tool holding and work holding equipment, and in the past 25-30 years, Schunk has developed a new product line, which is called robotic grippers. And actually, we have had an anniversary, 30 years of robotic grippers, Schunk grippers, in the past year. So this is the second pillar Schunk is standing on, which is the robotics grippers field.
And I interviewed Henrik Schunk a while back, so our listeners can go ahead and listen to that podcast if they want more information. Why is Schunk interested in being part of the European Robotics Week? I interviewed researchers mostly, but not many companies. Tell me more.
Well, Schunk, as part of this big robotics community, since we are the number one gripper producing company in the world, we of course have contact to all robot producers wherever they are in the world, and this is a huge a driving part of the community, and this is why we decided to also play a role in the European Robotics Week.
I know you were organizing a challenge during that week. Can you tell us what the goals of the challenge were?
Yes, the challenge we organized was a mobile robotic system where robots driving made of Lego, a pathfinding part. That means the little mobile device was able to localize itself on a huge table of about 3 by 3 meters and then find its way to a certain spot that was named the goal. And another task, the robot should pick up an object and bring it to the goal. And the idea here was, that's why it was a 3-day challenge, each of the teams was free to design their own little Lego robot. The teams had to start by thinking what kind of machine they should build, how the robot should look like, what kind of grasping device it should incorporate, and what the strategy for localization and pathfinding should be.
I'm guessing these were mostly high school kids, probably their first time programming a robot. What was their feedback impression?
Well, the teams consisted of a group of boys and girls, so we were very happy to see that it's not only a boy groups coming up there for the tasks, but it was a combination, and the kids worked together very well. So first of all, they of course had to imagine how to solve a task. That means they have to team up, they have to find a strategy, they have to find a compromise on whose ideas to combine, and finally start working on the programming task as well as the mechanical design task, which is for a group of 16-year-old kids quite a challenging task.
Are there any anecdotes or particular highlights that you could bring up?
Yeah, well, highlights are always very emotional, and you can imagine when you have a crowd of kids aged 16 with it's not only loud, but you have a lot of emotion coming up where kids have a good idea and they see it's working out well, or also to see that kids have somehow had an idea, worked on it, spent time on it, but finally had to or it ended in a dead end. It didn't work out well. So that was interesting to see its application in the already in school make young people acquainted with such technology that can be part of a game approach, but later on robotics is, or we consider it will be, a major part of the industry for the future years. So what we see right now is a technology change. We are switching from computers that can do calculations and also help us in writing letters and books, up to computers that are able to communicate over the internet. Today we organized, and they all said, the kids as well as the teachers, this is something we should continue. That's interesting. That's not typical school, but it taught them a lot. So the approaches of thinking like engineers and approaching tasks as a team, that really helped the kids grow a new competence.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Rocco, for being here with us on Robots.
Yeah, thank you too for taking the time.
And that's the end of the episode. If you weren't able to take part in any robotics-related activities in 2013's EU Robotics Week, we hope this episode has given you a good idea of the multitude of events that made that week special. The next EU Robotics Week is planned for November this year. To find out more, just visit our website at robotspodcast.com. That's all from us for today. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. EU Robotics with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.